I'm going to one more time introduce Brother Jamie Jackson to you. This is a great young man, and I'm very proud of him. I used to take him out on teen soul winning. I used to watch him win people to Christ, and all these years later, a quarter century later, he's still doing it. Can I tell you something? Soul winning is not about us. It's about him. I said this last week. Everybody that Jesus talked to didn't get saved. Why do you think you should? It's our job to get the gospel out. But may I say this? Brother Jackson's going to talk on this. As you go soul winning, it gets easier because there's somebody who can help you. And his name is the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and soul winning. Brother Jackson, you come.
Amen. All right, turn into your Bibles with me to John chapter 16. It's amazing how he was given those points, and it went from John chapter 3, then it was John chapter 8. And I was like, man, if he doesn't watch it, he's going to be teaching exactly what I'm teaching tonight. But John chapter 16 is where we're going to be. Tonight, we're going to talk about the most misunderstood person in the Bible.
That's right.
The most misunderstood person when it comes to quote-unquote religion. If we're not, we will go soul winning and try to do our duty, but we will do it in the wrong way, and then we wonder why we don't see the results.
Yes, sir.
We wonder why we never see anyone saved. We never wonder, or we always wonder why it seems like we're not going anywhere. Oftentimes when this happens, I talk to this individual before, now, and even during. Sometimes even every single house that I go to, I'm like, Holy Spirit, I need you.
Yes, sir.
Please help them not to see me, but to see you.
Yes,
why? Because he's that important. In John chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Of course, this is Christ talking to the disciples. This is not a very happy time. They're seeing their friend. They're seeing their Savior. They're seeing the Messiah himself now leave them. So, of course, when they leave them, he's telling them, hey, I have to go. And then we pick up from there. It says, for if I go not away, the Comforter, obviously we know the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Boy, if we stop, we're just right there. We will pick it up here in a second. Heavenly Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, this is about you. We ask that you please help us as only you can. We give you the honor and praise in your blessed Son's name we pray. Amen. Boy, if I could have a title for this sermon, it would be Mr. Whoop Whoop, because oftentimes, I believe you understand that with this. But we had one of our staff members, he said he was traveling. It was around Christmas time. They were going to see lights and going to see everything. And man, it was so beautiful. And they had Christmas music playing. And it was the perfect environment. Then all of a sudden, his son said, look, Dad, Christmas lights. And he said he immediately looked in his rearview mirror. And when he looked in his rearview mirror, before he could see anything else, he heard, whoop, whoop. And immediately his heart began to pound. He pulled over like any one of us would do. And then after that, he feared when he came to him and said, license or registration. And then he took it and he went back. Boy, if there's a perfect example of what the Holy Spirit did for you and did for that person that we knock on the door to, is this. There's three things that we can get out of that. First thing he did when he heard whoop, whoop, is he sensed his presence. How many times have you heard that sound or even saw the light? Immediately your heart began to race. Why? Because you know that his presence was near. Not only that, you better acknowledge his power. That's the second thing, because if you don't acknowledge his power, Houston, you really have a problem on your hands. And then thirdly, you feared the punishment.
Yes.
Well, you feared what was coming. Boy, is he going to give me a ticket? How big is that ticket? My wife is going to kill me when she finds out that I got this ticket. Oh, there's going to be all these different things. So if we go back to chapter 16 and verse 8 there, and that applies literally to the verse that we just read. It says, and when he has come, that's his presence. When he comes, how many times, or you remember that day when he came to you, when they said, hey, someone presented the gospel, loved you enough. Hey, they may not have even loved you. You know that? They just did it because it was duty. It was what they were supposed to do. All of a sudden, they did what they were supposed to. You never know. They could have been having a bad day. It could have been really, really rough. They could have even had someone die in their family. But the Bible said to show up by two, by two, by two. So here they are showing up. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was doing what they couldn't do. And he began to speak to you. And you knew, Houston, something was different. There was someone who came with them, and all of a sudden, we continue to read there in verse 8, it says, and when he come, obviously that's his presence, he will reprove the world of sin. That's his power. That's his power. Boy, if anybody else were to try to do this, boy, they would get backlash, they would get everything that they possibly can, but there's one who is more powerful than you and me, and whenever he speaks, we can do either two things, either accept it or reject it. And then all of a sudden, after that, it says the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Boy, that's the punishment that comes with it. Boy, he began to speak to you and me. And as he began to speak to you and me, all of a sudden we realized his presence. And then we had to acknowledge his power. Hey, we are sinful. Hey, we are not at the same level as our God. Hey, isn't that a good thing today? I remember I went to Starbucks and I was talking to some man. And he said, you know, the difference between your God and my God. And I said, what's this? And he began to explain his God and how big his God was and how excited he was in his God. And he said, how big is your God? And I said, my God is so big, I was like, that I can't even begin to explain him. Amen. That's how big he is.
That's right.
He didn't like that. You could tell he thought he was a smart aleck. He was getting to me. I was like, I can't even begin to explain. I was like, in fact, all the Bible, my Bible, the Bible, says that all the books in the world could not contain.
That's right.
I was like, that's how big my God is. I was like, your God's so small that you can contain him and explain him. But our God is to the point where even when he doesn't speak, we acknowledge his presence.
Yes, sir.
We acknowledge that he's in the room. That's why we don't want anything but to be between me and him. That way he can fully use us. We can be that vessel that we need to be. We can be that person that we can see results, not because of us, but because of him who is in us that is working. Boy, when I begin to dove and look a little bit more into this, boy, when we got to verse 8 again, it says, and when he has come, he will reprove. I was like, reprove? I was like, what exactly does reprove mean? And I began to dig a little bit deeper. And when I did, it said convince. I said, boy, I sure am glad that he convinced me that I was a sinner. Then all of a sudden it said, I looked a little bit more. And not only was it convinced, but it was to persuade. Not only did he convince me that I'm a sinner, but Houston, you need to do something about it. I was like, and before it was all said and done, he convicted, or he proved that one was guilty.
Yes.
Boy, I began to put this all together, and one of my friend's wife that I went to school with, she was a lawyer. And we began to talk, and we talked about the courtroom and how the courtroom set up, and I began to explain to her this study that I had. Oftentimes, she would explain to me different things in her job, and I just happened to be on this study, and I began to explain it, and all of a sudden, she was like, you don't understand what you just did. And boy, she explained it to me, and I'll do my best to explain it to you. She said this. She said that there's a thing called a prosecuting attorney. She said all of a sudden you're in front of that courtroom. They call you up as a prime witness. You come there. You sit there. Said all of a sudden they said, hey, where were you in such and such time and such place? He said you have to accept what she's saying or reject it. Were you not there? Yes, I was. All right. Did you not do what is being accused of? And you said, the slick ones, they will pin you in to where either you acknowledge it or you set yourself up for more criminal charges later because you lied in the courtroom. She said, it is very, very yes or no. Then she said, all of a sudden, after she's convinced you that you were there, she persuades you that, hey, if you were there, you possibly could do this. Not only does she persuade you, but there's another group of people that normally sit off to the side. And she makes it well known that this person was there. And she persuades you to tell them to leave no doubt in their mind that you probably are guilty. Then she says she can share her job or his job is to convict you of that sin. Then she told me this. She said, and then we begin to converse even more. And boy, as we conversed even more, something was very evident there that happened. I said, the same thing happened in my life. I was like, I remember when I was on the stand. And we have one that is with us also, called the Great Accuser. How he sometimes he stands before God. Hey, Craig Bush over there. Yeah, he's pastoring those people, but he's done this and this and this and this and this wrong, or whatever. And all of a sudden, Brother Bush says, absolutely, yes, I was there. And the Holy Spirit says, so you admit it. You did do something wrong. You are, yes, 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 yes. So you are guilty. I did convince you, yes. And then all of a sudden, there's one thing a little bit different about this lawyer. This lawyer did find us guilty. But then all of a sudden, oftentimes the lawyer will go to the judge and be like, Judge, can we have a little bit of mercy upon them? Boy, they did communicate. Boy, they did their best. They worked with us. But our lawyer does a little bit more than that. Our lawyer takes off that hat of finding us guilty, then all of a sudden comes over here and puts on the other hat and says, hey, judge, yes, they are guilty. But all of a sudden, judge, they put their faith in someone that was bigger than them, and that person paid the price for them, and they no longer are found guilty because it's already been paid. What a perfect example of us when we go to that door. Boy, sometimes we're tired and sometimes we're weary and sometimes we're just going because we have to go. But then all of a sudden we begin to talk and someone talks for us. And someone tells that person that you are a sinner. You have done wrong.
Yes, sir.
Boy, you were there that particular night and you did this. So if that's the case, there is a punishment for sin. And when sin is finished, it does bring it forth death. And hell is not made for you, but you will get it if you don't accept. Then all of a sudden, they're found guilty. And then because they're found guilty, all of a sudden, they bow their head and they relied on someone who's already paid the price for their sins.
Yes, sir.
And boy, when they open their eyes, boy, they're now, a burden has been lifted. Boy, they now feel much better about themselves. Why? Because someone else went on their behalf and paid a price for them. Boy, oftentimes I tell people this, if the Lord God did nothing else but to save you and me, boy, what greater love than that?
That's right.
That he literally died. Hey, I don't know about you, but when's the day and the time that you got saved? Boy, I remember I was right back here where this young man is in the burgundy shirt. I was at Victory Baptist Church of North Augusta, South Carolina. And all of a sudden, the preacher began to preach. Hey, I don't know about you, but the preacher that saved me, his name was John the Baptist. Boy, we were in junior church. I know we were in junior church, and his name was Brother John. And they used to say, hey, kids, pay attention. John the Baptist is coming to preach to you. And boy, he would come and he would speak. Boy, my eyes would get big, and I remember one day when it became real.
Yes.
Amen. Boy, that person he was talking about started talking to me. Amen. Boy, he convinced me that I was a sinner.
Yes.
And boy, I tell people this. I'm like, I wish I could tell you that I got saved because of heaven. And the great things that heaven was going to happen there. I was like, but I got saved because he talked about that place called hell.
That's right.
And he said hell is mentioned more in the Bible than heaven is mentioned. Boy, he began to tell some of the things that were in that place. Boy, I didn't want anything to do with that. He said, if you walk out of those doors and you understand me, and you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, something happens to you, guess where you're going? Boy, I remember he dismissed. Boy, I stayed there. Boy, I didn't want to move. Boy, I didn't want to blink. I didn't want to do anything that he said on that list that would happen if I didn't know the Lord and Savior. What happened there? The Holy Spirit convinced me, hey, he's talking to you. Mm-hmm. He's talking to you. Hey, he's up there preaching. That's John the Baptist right there. You know how famous that is? That would be so cool. Trust me. This is your time. He convinced me. Then he persuaded, you know what? Since we are sinful, we need to get that. We need to get that settled. We need to get that taken care of. And then he was like, hey, I'll help you. Only thing you have to do is surrender. And say, I am a sinner. Do not take for granted who goes with us. Oftentimes he is called the silent partner. Because he never pushes himself. He never raises his voice. But boy, when he speaks, things are different. About him.
That's right.
Tonight, I was asked to speak on the Holy Spirit. He's not going to come and make people dance and do all this craziness. But when he does come, in the way that the Bible teaches, he changes things. Because you either have to accept them or you have to reject them. But that's not our concern. Our concern is to go.
That's right.
And be like, Holy Spirit, I can't do it. Holy Spirit, sure would be amazing if you use me. Do it through me. Mm-hmm. And boy, the Bible talks about how there's rejoicing in heaven. Boy, they're also going to be rejoicing on earth. Hey, Pastor. I got two. What? I got two. We all know what that means. But man, pretty cool. The Holy Spirit used me not to get one, but two. That's unos dos. Boy, that is great.
Praise the Lord.
Stop there because that's pretty much this is America. But let's never underestimate his power.
Amen.
He is not to be feared. That's why he is called the Comforter.
Yes.
So let's let him comfort us. And if he already has done that, let's let him comfort a world that is looking for him, that wants him.
That's right.
He can only bring joy, but the world is constantly looking for something to fulfill that void in them. And they're looking for the one person that we have. So let's not let us be selfish. But let us go because it's our duty. And let us let the Holy Spirit use us and work something and do something that only he can.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Jackson said something so vitally important. He is to speak through us. He'll speak through his word. That means we have to use his words, not ours. He'll use our voice if we use his words. But he cannot use his words if we don't use our voice. We are the only Holy Spirit the lost world will see or experience. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tonight in either of those two sermons, something I needed tonight? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands. You may put them down. There's a lost and dying world out there. They need the Savior. They need the gospel. Hey, there's Christians out there who are hurt, backslidden, broken. They need us too.